Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this program. Thank you for listening to AFR. Joining me to co-host today is Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Fred Jackson.
Yes, good morning from Venus.
From Venus, and Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Brother Ray.
What's up, Tim? How you doing?
Doing well. How about yourself?
You know, it's a fine day here in Kansas City, about 80-some degrees and a little bit of humidity. But, you know, for the middle of August, we're all doing good here.
Bike ride on tap for today?
Yes, sir. Went yesterday and no rain today, so going to hit it again.
Now, I called your bike a 10-speed the other day, not knowing if that's what you...
It's really more, I got to think about this. It's more like 15 or 16, something like that. It's a bunch. It's a bunch of gears. I'm not a gearhead kind of guy, you know, but there's a bunch of gears there.
What gear do you leave it on then?
14.
I just remember I had a 10 speed as a kid and you, 14.
I just made that up.
Oh, you just made that up. You just went with something.
I don't know.
I wouldn't know. I just remember as a kid, 10 speeds were all the rage.
That's right. Huh? Yeah. That's right. You can still
buy those. When I was a kid, it didn't get up to 3-speed.
But bikes were invented by then, weren't they, Fred?
Yes. I took an old one out of my grandfather's barn that my father drove way back when.
And what, do y'all have a month or two of bike riding there in Nova Scotia?
Yeah, and then you had to put on the chains on the bike to get through the snow, you know?
Walker, you ride a bike too, don't you?
I do sometimes. I used to ride, as like Ray does, as exercise, ride a road bike miles and miles, but I don't do that anymore.
A road bike, like what Ray...
Yeah, they're built for road, for asphalt and concrete, so they ride a little bit better than a mountain bike.
My brother used to ride those trail bikes. Mm-hmm. He went out to Utah one time, rode all those. They got some big trails. You done that, Ray?
Look, that's another whole world.
Oh,
those
is it?
Guys
okay.
Those guys are serious.
Yeah, that's a dangerous world too.
It is. If you took my road bike out on a mountain bike trail, right. I wouldn't last.
You wouldn't
very
last.
Long.
Have no, two no. flats in 10 minutes, huh?
That's exactly, yes.
Wouldn't yeah, they, t- they tell me the stories about, you know, when they hit a stump or a tree that had fallen over the trail and they go flying off the bike down the hill. I'm like, yeah, I'll stick to my little
really
cul-de-sac.
I don't really want to do that.
Stick to the cul-de-sac.
You wanted some cardio, not near-death
right.
experience.
Yeah. That's right. I didn't want any orthopedic stuff.
All right, Walker, tell folks how they can join us.
Yeah, there's a couple ways to keep up with the show, Today's Issues. You can visit our website, afr.net, and afr.net. And on our website, not only can you catch our podcast, but you can also listen live there. And then we're on Facebook and YouTube. So go to Today's Issues on Facebook and YouTube, watch the show, and we'll post the articles there on our Facebook page.
Fred, go ahead.
Well, gentlemen, I'm in recovery this morning. I inflicted pain on myself yesterday. Mm-hmm. I watched the total Biden-Kamala Harris news conference. And I sat in my chair, and I think I started to grip the handles of the chair. As I listened to, and I'm being kind here, distortion after distortion after distortion of what Kamala Harris and Biden say. And for the most part, it was Kamala Harris, a little bit of Biden, was saying about how Trump basically has driven this country into the ground. And he's the cause of the pandemic. He is the reason why we've lost 166,000 Americans. And on the economy.
Wait a minute. Hold on before you move on.
Uh-huh.
She really blamed him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had a terrible response in the early stages of the pandemic. Therefore, he's responsible for where we are today.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, that's why I was gripping the chair during the whole
right.
thing.
Like you were riding a bike or something.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Kamala Harris saying yesterday, Trump squandered the Joe Biden recovery, going back to the Barack Obama, as if the economy was in great shape under them, and somehow Trump ruined it all. Well, this morning on Fox and Friends, a gentleman by the name of Peebles, Don Peebles, who was a financial advisor to Barack Obama, listened to what he had to say about Donald Trump and the economy. Cut number one.
He inherited the longest economic expansion in history from Barack Obama and Joe Biden. And then, like everything else he inherited, he ran it straight into the ground.
I'm surprised that the first day out that they're going out on the attack as opposed to talking about where they want to take the country, which is a better move. And also trying to blame Donald Trump for a pandemic is not going to resonate with voters, at least the voters that they're looking to attract. I think that they need to be talking about how they're going to build a recovery coming out of the pandemic. And I think that that's what Americans are going to look for, is a president that can lead the economy when it comes out of this pandemic. But I don't think the country's going to blame Donald Trump for the pandemic.
Yeah, and they're not going to blame him for the economic recovery. And speaking of coming out of the pandemic, latest jobless claims this morning that came out have fallen below 1 million jobless claims for the first time in 21 weeks. Stock market around 27,000, 28,000 this morning. So Kamala Harris says, you know, we're in terrible, terrible shape.
If I were her and if I were advising the Harris-Biden ticket, I agree with that gentleman right there. I don't think that helps her or the Biden campaign at all. People know that the economy was roaring prior to the pandemic in March. And so if you want to oppose President Trump, just say, you vote for us because President Trump's a terrible person or a terrible president or whatever, for other reasons maybe, but blaming him for the pandemic and the economic fallout from such, but which, by the way, we're recovering from.
Yes.
Just seems to me, like the gentleman said right there, so blatantly untrue that everybody knows it. You see what I'm saying? So why do that right out of the gate? Try something with that's maybe more murky, okay, or more stark from the left wing perspective, Walker.
Yeah, it doesn't add up, and the difference, the way they measure people, whether they're Democrat or Republican, conservative or liberal, is completely different, because you notice there they blame President Trump for the coronavirus, which is bizarre, but they won't apply that same way of thinking or that same measurement to Cuomo in New York. So if you're saying that politicians are responsible for the coronavirus, well, is Cuomo responsible for the 30-plus thousand deaths in nursing homes? Well, no, that's not his fault. You can't control that. There's no way you can put a responsibility for a virus on one governmental official. Well, they're doing that for President Trump, but they won't do that for Cuomo.
Right.
You know, this is not gonna wash, because number one, the economy is recovering. It's getting better. And we're going to see the unemployment numbers go down again in early September. They're going to go down again in early October. Is it going to be higher than it was? Yeah, sure, than it was in January. But I think the worst is over in terms of the unemployment, that the hit to the economy. And people understand, the president, did he do perfectly? Well, nobody did perfectly in January, February, but he was smart enough to make the all-important call to ban all the travel from China. So he's going to, if that's the battlefield they have chosen, they are losing right out of the gate. It's an odd way to begin a campaign, in my judgment.
Yeah. Fred, did you say in our show meeting this morning, Fred, just trying to remember, that she said something about Ebola?
At that press conference yesterday, Kamala Harris said Biden provided leadership on the Ebola, she called it the Ebola pandemic. Have a listen to it. We'll come back, talk about it. Cut two.
It didn't have to be this way. 6 years ago, in fact, we had a different health crisis. It was called Ebola. And we all remember that pandemic. But you know what happened then? Barack Obama and Joe Biden did their job. Only two people in the United States died. Two. That is what's called leadership. But compare that to the moment we find ourselves in now. When other countries are following the science, Trump pushed miracle cures he saw on Fox News.
Yeah. Walker, you're shaking your head over there. You don't remember the Ebola pandemic, Walker?
Yeah, you talk about apples and oranges. That's not even apples and oranges. That's not even...
No, that's Venus and Earth.
Yeah, that there you go. That's a good analogy.
Well, what is she talking about, though? I mean, I remember the Ebola situation over in one part of the world, basically. Y'all correct me if I'm wrong. It was in one part of the world, and we were worried about some American citizens over there. We brought a couple back to... Certainly, you don't want that to spread. It can spread. Rabid, was that a pandemic?
No.
She called it a pandemic.
No, it was not a pandemic, not even in Africa. Now, look, Ebola, very, very dangerous, right? Very dangerous, but it did not spread. There was no need, for instance, to go to the masking and the social distancing and all that stuff. So it's not any kind of fair comparison. This is completely
The CDC
different
called it an outbreak.
Yeah. That's a good word.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
An outbreak. You know what? This just reminds me again of how dishonest the media is.
Yeah. Not,
most of the mainstream liberal media, they're so dishonest. Had President Trump called Ebola a pandemic, there would be fact checkers on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
There would be four Pinocchios in the Washington Post. There would be wall-to-wall, 24/7, like they did when he drew up the hurricane. Remember that, when President Trump was telling us where the hurricane might go a couple years ago, and they mocked him for that, which he was... So it would just be... And they would say, President Trump lies again. This is lie number 2,477.
Yeah.
That's what the media would say. Kamala, and I haven't looked at the, I don't have to look at the non-response from the liberal media on her calling Ebola. This is bizarre. Is she writing her own stuff, Fred? Because she needs to get a speechwriter in there pretty quick, because you got to do better than, it sounds like to me she's doing this on the fly. Calling Ebola a pandemic, and then saying only two people died because Obama and Biden saved America from Ebola.
Yeah. I think what she is hoping for, she is hoping that the American public has turned very stupid.
Yeah.
And, you know, she knows. I tell you why, to answer your question, Tim, the Democrats know that the mainstream media, for the most part, is all in with them. I mean, the political coverage, I look at Associated Press every day. The political coverage of the Associated Press, their stories look like they were written by the Democratic Party. I think I mentioned on the air earlier this week, I put in the search engine for the Associated Press AP fact check. All I found was after Trump, 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 Trump.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of examples. They say that Trump was wrong. Never found one for Joe Biden. Not one.
Well, another thing is, and we can move on to the next topic, but I would like, when Harris, Senator Harris, says this kind of thing, what I would respect more is if she were to say, you know, whatever she says, 160,000 people are dead, tragically mishandled by the Trump administration and President Trump. I wish she would give us three things that she would have done, she or Biden would have done different, that would have changed the course of the virus spreading across the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me three things that President Trump did that you would have done differently. They don't do that.
No. Right.
They don't do that. In fact, everything Biden comes out with, he has to be told, well, President Trump did that.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
So what they do, it's kind of like calling President Trump a racist, and then they don't have to give any evidence for it.
Yeah.
And you keep saying that day after day after day after day, And then it's supposed to become just an assumption that
yes.
everybody has, right,
yes.
Walker?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I don't know if they took questions at that event yesterday.
They did
Fred.
Not.
Yeah.
They did not.
Oh, they took a grilling.
Yeah.
it was,
yeah, and if Biden does get a hard question, he's going to call him a lying, dog-faced pony soldier.
Don Lemon came for the juggler
yeah.
last night. Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, but this is what you're going to get, though, the next, you know, I guess only 3 months now, is less than 3 months.
Hey, what was the deal? What was the deal, Fred, and the Reagan? What was the deal about the script that he supposedly had the other day?
The announcement?
When he announced that she was his pick. What was that all about?
Well, there was a picture of him looking at a laptop computer, but he also had some written notes underneath. And then, of course, his cell phone he had upside down. People were wondering about
that.
Well,
I've had my phone upside down. What's the big deal with that?
Well, I don't know whether you can read it upside down when it's in that mode. Well, most of the cell phones
write themselves.
Have you
never heard backward masking? I can, huh?
It's a real thing.
Yes. You know, to Walker's point on the media, if you want to see a demonstration of how the media is going to cover Biden and Kamala Harris, it was on display yesterday afternoon in the wake of that announcement or the news conference. Cut number 9. Here's a little example how the mainstream media was talking about Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris comes from the middle-of-the-road moderate wing of the Democratic Party, not the first choice of progressives.
Cultivating a moderate political reputation and inviting criticism from some liberals that she was insufficiently progressive on criminal justice issues.
Harris is not a radical. She's a centrist and a moderate.
The Trump campaign's been chomping at the bit for someone to attack, something to stick. And they seem to have only this attempt to tie a decidedly moderate ticket to the radical left.
Even an independent body that scores the senators, they have Kamala Harris to the left of Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren.
Wow.
Ray, you don't think the centrist ticket will...
That train left the station long time ago, and Kamala is not on it.
It left the train station going left.
It left going left and hasn't stopped yet.
Yeah.
And she's leading that whole thing. So no, it's not going to work to call her a centrist. She is as radical on social issues as you can be,
right,
on the environment, on the economy, on taxes, on all of it. She's just, I don't know. Could she be further left than Joe himself? I don't know.
I'll tell you what I think, at least this is just an opinion, could be a damning issue for the Biden Harris ticket if it's exploited. Exploited is not the right word. If it's made public widely.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a number of issues I think could damage and will damage their chances against President Trump, despite the fact that Biden is leading in the polls almost across the board. Now, albeit by, in some cases, two, three, four, or five points.
Mm-hmm.
Some cases larger. But and that is this. The Democrat Party is... They're not for borders, all right, and then they are for people getting free health insurance who come here illegally. Mm-hmm. Now you talk about, you remember these caravans that we saw a couple of years ago coming up from Central America?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I think we about half emptied out. Central America, but you talk about that start happening. That is going to happen on a massive scale. Okay, from Mexico, from Central America, from South America. Good grief! I don't see why people wouldn't travel around the world to get to, get on those trains.
Mm-hmm.
Or get. You know? Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. So. I think that could cost them a lot of votes once that, as I said, is discussed publicly. Now, President Trump's been doing some early advertising about this. The mainstream media is not going to cover this because that's very unpopular with the American voters, I believe. So, Fred, what are your thoughts on that particular issue? Because Biden's going to be asked about this with President Trump in a debate situation, should he debate, and Pence will ask Harris about this as well. And if Biden and Pence say anything that suggests detainment of people coming here illegally, they will be crucified by their own party. Go ahead.
There is no question about that. As we've talked about before, the Biden-Kamala Harris team is now beholden to Bernie Sanders and the squad, AOC, Omar, Tlaib,
Harris is one of them, in my opinion.
Oh, she is one.
She could be a squad member easily if she were in the House.
Yes.
No problem whatsoever. When you have, we've already stated for the record, she has stated for the record, she's all in the Green New Deal, which is what Bernie Sanders wants. She's all in on Medicare for All. Remember one of the first debates, one of the journalists asked, who's all in on Medicare for All? They went across the screen. That's when there were about 10 of them on the stage. She put up her hand, yes. Now, she's tried to modify that a little bit, that maybe there's going to be an option for private insurance. But we all know that's just to get them through the election, and then it's going to be Medicare for All.
Yeah.
She is part of the far, far left of that party.
Yeah, and remember, it was Biden and Harris and many others that said that we're going to end border apprehensions or mm-hmm. arrest. Mm-hmm. Instead, we're just going to give them a slip, like a ticket, I guess you could say, like almost like a speeding ticket, and then let them continue on into the mainland without even apprehending them and processing them.
Well, we've seen what Democrat-controlled cities, they become sanctuary cities. And the mayors.
It's going to be a sanctuary country.
It's what it's going to be, yeah. The mayors of these cities are ordering cops not to cooperate with ICE.
I mean, if you're. Maybe people feel this way, Ray. Maybe enough people feel this way. But if you're for just everybody coming in here who wants to get here and us paying for everything, then you vote Biden Harris.
Yeah, and there will be people who agree with that. But let's face it. If you don't have borders, Tim, you don't have a nation, right? You don't. If anybody from anywhere can come in at any time with no restrictions whatsoever, because that's essentially where the Democrats want to take us, you don't have a country. My guess is there are tens of millions of people who are going to go to the polls, and that's going to be a major issue for them. I hope the president hits this and hits it hard.
Mm-hmm. Now, listen, Senator Harris compared ICE, which is the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, mm-hmm. that's our federal agency charged with deporting people.
Yes.
And we're basically only deporting people who are
convicted
felons.
Yeah.
Huh? And she said they're like the Ku Klux Klan.
Yes.
Yep. That's how these people think. So you're going to be the Vice President of the United States, and you believe in dismantling ICE because they're the same as the KKK.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden doesn't believe in detaining anyone. So you just come over, you get a
slip, pink slip.
And you get like a Subway discount card, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you let them go.
Yes.
That's what they favor.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're keeping them in cages.
Yes.
We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
King of the Wild Frontier.
The music's free. I know we call it Learning University.
Of necessity.
Trivia Friday.
True.
Ding, ding, ding,
yes.
Ding, ding.
Yes.
Oh, really?
That's correct. Giraffes do not have vocal cords.
So you want a cheeseburger without cheese?
Hold the cheese.
I said, yes, ma'am, whatever you call it.
Take a break with Tim Wildman and the gang. Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, my dad was a Methodist pastor, and he also led tours to Israel. He did that twice a year, and he started doing that in 1968. So all during the 80s and the 90s, I learned from him. And so now today, I'm passing the torch on to my sons, Wesley and Walker, as they help me lead folks to Israel each March. We're doing so in March of 2021. We'd love for you to come along with us if you've always wanted to see Israel. Maybe our trip is for you. Check out all the information at twholyland.com. twholyland.com. It's going to be a great time seeing the land of the Bible with fellow Christians in March of 2021. twholyland.com is the website.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Wondering how you'll finish your degree now? At Liberty University, we want to help. So when you transfer into one of our more than 100 undergraduate online programs this fall, you could earn up to $3,600 in transfer student scholarships, or more if you live in Virginia. That means you could pay less than $900 per course and transfer in up to 75% of your degree. That's up to 90 credits. Save time and money at a school that's been helping students like you for over 30 years. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
Members of the New York Liberty and Seattle Storm walked off the basketball court during the national anthem the other day. The WNBA said the female athletes pitched a hissy fit and disrespected America as a peaceful form of protest. The players held a moment of silence for Breonna Taylor, the 26-year-old black woman who was killed at her home by Louisville police. Among those who denounced the squawking magpies on the basketball court was Senator Kelly Loeffler, the Republican from Georgia who also co-owns the Atlanta Dream. She said it was a political stunt that disrespects every man, woman, and child who's given their life for this country. Clearly, the WNBA has fully embraced the Black Lives Matter political movement and turned its back on the American flag. And now every freedom-loving American ought to turn their backs on the WNBA. Listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern or online at toddstarnes.com.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Walker, Ray, and Fred, we thank you for listening. If you'd like to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. We've been talking some about the political positions that Kamala Harris, the senator from California, holds. She's been added to the ticket now, the Biden Harris ticket, and some of the things she's already said, calling Ebola a pandemic that was controlled by President Obama and Joe Biden to keep only two people dying in the U.S. as compared to Trump, blaming Trump for the coronavirus, which is 160,000+, which he's responsible for. I mean, that's what she's trying to sell right now, and I guess they think that's a winning approach. You're listening to today's issues. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, well, now the next thing on the agenda a lot of people are talking about, there will be a debate between Vice President Mike Pence and Kamala Harris. That's coming up in early October. Well, last night, Vice President Pence was interviewed on Fox and getting his reaction to the fact that now his opponent, Kamala Harris, is he ready to face her in a debate? Cut number 10.
Joe Biden's decision to add Kamala Harris to the ticket confirms everything President Trump and I have been saying, and that is that Joe Biden and the Democratic Party have been overtaken by the radical left. Kamala Harris, like Joe Biden, supports higher taxes, socialized medicine, open borders, abortion on demand. And where Joe Biden said he'd be willing to cut funding to police, she said recently that she thought that we should reimagine the police in this country. And I just have to tell you, I like the matchup.
Reimagine. She didn't say that, did she?
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
What does it mean?
Like a ride at Disney World.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go get on the Reimagine the Police ride. What do you think? Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can see that the Biden and Harris are run by the Antifa, the left wing of the Democrat Party that is far, 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 far left. They are run by them. So their cabinet officials, should they become president and vice president, their entire cabinet, they will be dominated by the Marxist people in their party.
Ray, Harris is one of them, despite her record as the Attorney General of California, where some say she was, quote, tough on crime.
Right.
Now, Biden is not, okay? Biden has always been a liberal politician, yes, but he's not been wacky progressive left. This is all new to him. Most of this. So he comes, so this is a different, he's trying to convert over, right?
Right.
He's trying to be able to understand and express, quote, progressive ideas, which he doesn't really understand yet. Go ahead.
Well, Walker just a moment ago said the left wing of the Democratic Party, but you really wonder, is it not true to say, really, the left wing now is the Democratic Party. Hmm. That there's no middle of the Democrat Party left. There's certainly no right side of the Democrat Party. The left has this is for all practical purposes, AOC's and Bernie Sanders, right, Democrat Party, and now Biden has to fit into it. And I just wonder how much, they're even pitching this, Tim. It's almost as if it's Kamala Harris first and Joe Biden second, almost like it's a Harris-Biden tick instead of Biden-Harris. Is that the way they're going to sell this to the American people? And do you think Americans are going to buy this? I don't think so.
Yeah, 3 weeks ago, I would have said 60-40, Biden wins. I'm thinking right now it's 60-40 Trump.
Yep.
Yeah.
Aren't y'all getting that sense?
I do.
Yeah, the more we get closer, the more Biden's going to be forced to come out and speak, forced to do debates, forced to be on the campaign trail, and it's not going to look good. It's not going to look good when the public actually has to start listening to him speak every day.
Well, probably 40%, this is just a guess, 40% of the public is going to vote for Trump, 40% is going to vote for Biden, 20%, especially in the swing states, could go either way. Mm-hmm. Although you just wonder, in this world, how could you be undecided on these two completely different political worldviews? Mm-hmm. But I don't think that maybe 20% keep up with it that much.
Yeah.
The numbers could be wrong there. I'm just making a guess, Walker.
Yeah, I think you do have some voters, especially in those swing states you mentioned, that they wait until the weeks
start paying attention.
Yeah, they wait until the weeks heading into the election, and then they make up their mind. But they're not in it every day like we are.
What about Ray? What do you think about the secret Trump voter out there? You think that's a real phenomenon?
Yeah, there are millions. There are millions of secret Trump voters out there who, even when they are called, even if they are polled, they just say, I don't want to respond, or they make up something because it's easier and maybe even safer for them not to identify as Trump voters. And really, it's going to come down to, what, 6 or 7 states, right? And I'm thinking about Biden. Look, I'm not, this is not even a political comment. It's just a comment on his current life situation and his mental acuity. When he has to go out and start campaigning, it's not if it happens, it's when it happens. He's going to make some monumental gaffes out there. And I think that's going to cause millions of people who are sort of on the fence, maybe even leaning toward voting for him, they're going to say, we can't take the chance of putting this man in the White House. And that's going to push Trump over the top in some of those swing states, so like Michigan, Wisconsin, so on.
So, in a way, Trump would be, quote, the devil you know.
True.
to a lot of these people who are swing voters, I'm saying. We know the old expression. I'm not calling President Trump a devil, folks. So save your emails and your Facebook posts. I think we know what I'm talking about. But they would say to themselves, well, you know, I may not like everything President Trump tweets out or says or does, but I know what I'm getting, and basically know what he believes, and he's good for the economy. Hey, my job was great before the coronavirus hit. So I think I'll go with him over this fella who obviously is you know, is having trouble thinking clearly and speaking clearly and articulating.
It's going to happen, right?
It's going to happen. That's why they want to keep him in the basement.
Voters want a commander-in-chief who is on his A-game, if you will. And if voters get this sense that Biden doesn't know what really is going on, he's not on his A-game.
And he's carrying the nuclear football around?
Yeah, and he's the leader of the free world, and he's supposed to be making wartime decisions. Voters, even no matter the ideology, they're not going to like that. That's going to push them away.
Enough, you say. Enough voters are going to be turned off, but be concerned about that.
Yeah, voter confidence in their candidate has to be high for them to cast that vote. It's not just on the policies, what's on paper. It's about how the candidate's going to handle.
Fred, go ahead. What about the secret Trump voter question I asked Ray?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that voters are a whole lot smarter than what the Democrats think they are. And I think there's a couple of things. I think the mainstream media has overplayed their hand.
Okay.
And their bias. I think the country, I was reading a story back a few weeks ago, a study was being done, and guess what? Sound the alarm bells out there. More and more Americans don't trust the media anymore. They don't. They see the bias.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, we talked about this in a story meeting for a little bit. Back when Mike Pence was chosen by President Trump 2016 to be his running mate, New York Times, the story in the New York Times, imagine the front page of a paper, way, way, way down in the right-hand corner of the New York Times, there was a little blurb about Mike Pence being chosen. Yesterday in the New York Times, Kamala Harris, the whole front page, big picture, three columns, celebrating the selection of Kamala Harris. Mm-hmm. So people are fed up with this. One more, and there's a story on Fox News about this morning. There's a change going on in this country. There is a recall effort against the mayor of Seattle, Jenny Durkin.
I wondered when that was going to happen.
Yeah, it is happening. A circuit court judge out there has ruled in favor of this recall effort. Now, this is a left-wing city, but there's a recall effort.
A lot of skinny jeans in Seattle.
A lot of skinny. But because of how she handled the CHOP zone, which she only ended when two or three people were murdered, they're fed up. Right. The business is there. There's a change going on in this country, and it doesn't look good for the Democrats.
Or you think it's a reaction to the lawlessness we're seeing?
Absolutely. All over this country, mainly in Democrat cities.
So people are getting worried and scared for their security. That's why gun sales are going through the roof.
Yes.
And you're saying that's – so when the Democrats embrace the anarchy,
mm-hmm.
or either by – saying go for it or in action,
mm-hmm.
you're saying that by default helps a law and order president.
Well,
and a law and order or law and order local officials.
I don't care. If you're a liberal mom and dad, you love your kids.
Right.
You want to take care of them. You want to take care of your property. Look what happened in St. Louis. This mob goes into this neighborhood. And the husband and wife come out with a gun. They didn't shoot anybody, but they come out with a gun warning people to stay off. They're being charged mm-hmm. by the George Soros-backed district attorney.
Okay, so you're saying on a presidential election level, Walker, what Fred's saying is Americans are seeing this. Of course, they're not seeing it much on the mainstream media because they're trying to downplay it or hide it because they know it helps President Trump.
Yeah,
but still, it's... With social media being what it is, Facebook, people are seeing this,
mm-hmm.
and they're getting worried about a further outbreak of anarchy and lawlessness. And
law and order ranks, it's not number one, but it's on up there with the economy on what voters consider. And
security.
Personal security. So one of the basic functions of government is to provide law and order, to provide protection for law-abiding citizens, to punish people who break the law. And so you have a major party, one of the two major parties, the Democrats, fostering an environment of lawlessness that's only going to hurt them. There's no way that's going to help them at the ballot box.
Okay. With those voters we're talking about who are undecided,
yeah,
or who could go either way. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I was going to ask you, Fred said yes, Ray said yes. I'm asking you, is there a huge, quote, secret vote for President Trump that's not being measured?
Yes, there is. The 2016 there was, and it could be even bigger now. 2016, the reason all the polls were wrong is because there were people, like Ray said, who got the phone call from the pollster. They were asked who you're going to vote for. They either lied and said Biden, or they said, I'm not sure yet.
If the Biden, if Biden is not up, if I were the Biden campaign and I weren't up over 5 points in a swing state, I would be worried.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the very reasons we've talked about here, the secret Trump voters who are not, don't answer pollsters, and now we got all, there's no more landlines hardly to call. Right, it's mostly mm-hmm. just cell phones. So, surveying and polling is a new world out there. It's harder to gauge, I think. And they think, well, who is this on the phone with me asking me these questions? And are they going to try to contact my employer?
Right.
Are they going to put this on Facebook or some social media and have my Am I going to be canceled?
Yeah. I mean, there's many families that don't even want to talk about where they're split in the families, whether it be in the household or extended right. family. They don't, when they're at Thanksgiving, they don't even want to talk about this Democrat v. Republican situation.
No, we don't have that problem at our family.
No, I think we're good. But yeah. if people don't even really want to talk about it with their family because there's disagreements, then they're not going to get on the phone with some random pollster
right.
and spill their heart out about why they love President Trump.
Right.
So they'd rather just keep it to themselves.
When you see how vicious the left can be.
Yeah.
Vicious.
Yes.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, I remember, this is 7-8 years ago. You remember that fella out in California? He founded Firefox, Mozilla. I think that's what you call it, which is a web browser. Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah.
And I don't even know if that's still around or not. I guess maybe it is. But,
yeah.
Anyway, he founded the company, and he gave some money, $1,000 or maybe a little more, to the marriage amendment to defend traditional marriage out in California. Remember Amendment 8, I guess it was?
Yeah, Proposition 8.
Proposition 8, mm-hmm. And somebody found out about it, and his board or forced him to resign just because he gave a gift out of his own personal bank account to the cause of defending traditional marriage. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's kind of when the cancel culture all started back then, is when they started. And now they feel they're unleashed. Now you know, if you don't sign up for Black Lives Matter or, you know, some social justice cause, if you're not putting your name on the line, then they're going to come after you, and a lot of people don't want to risk that. You're listening to, and a lot of that depends on what part of the country you live in, mm-hmm. quite frankly. All right, Fred, next story.
All right, time for a little fun with Nancy Pelosi.
We need some music for that one.
well,
I don't know, a Jack in the Box. Sound.
Something like that. Nancy Pelosi, of course, she's been interviewed a lot in the last few days, denouncing President Trump's plan for a payroll tax cut. Now, he's brought forward these executive orders because the Democrats are refusing to move on their $3 trillion plan for the second relief plan. And she's criticizing Trump because one of his executive orders would be a payroll tax cut for a certain amount of time to give people more take-home pay. So she's totally against what Trump has planned. So I want you to listen to what she's saying today, but then we're going to take a little walk down memory lane to 2012 when she had a very different opinion about Barack Obama's payroll tax cut. Cut number six.
While he says he's going to do the payroll tax, what he's doing is undermining Social Security and Medicare. So these are illusions. This is necessary because our economy and our people need this boost. For individual families, 160 million American families, this will be a boost.
Do you worry, though, that this does take money out of the Social Security Trust Fund and that it may never fully be refunded, repaid?
No, I don't worry about that.
Okay, so what you just heard, because there was no pause between it, but you did describe it, Fred. What you heard at first was Nancy Pelosi responding to President Trump's payroll tax cut.
Yes.
Idea.
She's worried about it.
She's worried about
Social Security.
But in 2012, when President Obama was in office, she supported it.
Yeah, she wasn't worried about it at all.
That's how it is every day with these people. I mean, I don't know what you say anymore. About it. It's whatever Trump's for, they're against. Whatever he's against, they're for. Walker, it's just...
Yeah, and really, neither the Republicans or the Democrats can really get mad at each other about spending money or transferring money or not having enough money or printing money, because they've been pulling out of Social Security for years to fund other projects. This is not a new thing.
Walker, we put an IOU in there.
The Social Security Fund, if you left it alone, would actually be very strong because it's being funded by millions of Americans. But Democrats and Republicans for the past, I don't know how long, have been pulling out of the Social Security Fund. So for Nancy Pelosi to act like this is a new thing.
I can't listen to any of these politicians with a straight face talk about fiscal responsibility, hardly.
I know.
Maybe Rand Paul.
And Ted Cruz.
Right.
Ted Cruz, but...
Maybe.
But anyway, okay, so Nancy Pelosi's worried now about spending too much money. I got it.
Mm-hmm. They're the ones that want to...
By the way, this
is
executive... Is this executive order constitutional, Walker? I mean, I agree with President Trump on wanting to do it, but... I thought this was something the legislature had to do.
Parts of it. The payroll tax deferment is legal according to the IRS code that Congress passed.
Why is that?
The president cannot forgive the payroll tax, the federal income or federal payroll tax. He can't unilaterally forgive that or get rid of it. That has to go through Congress. All that President Trump is doing is simply deferring it.
Well, I don't want it deferred if I'm going to have to pay it.
Well, I agree, but he's banking on Congress.
That's like back taxes, isn't it?
Yeah, he's banking on Congress after the election, assuming he gets reelected.
Forgiving it.
Which there will be a lot of pressure on Congress to do that. So,
but does he have the constitutional authority to do it in the first place? You're saying yes?
He has the constitutional authority to do a deferment. He does not have the authority to do a forgiveness unilaterally. So in the IRS code, there is a national economic emergency statute, which gives the president the authority, just like he delayed the tax filing deadline.
It's kind of risky, though, for the taxpayer out there, isn't it, to get what if Biden's elected and it's not forgiven?
Sure.
You better put it in your bank account because you got to pay it all back, right?
Possibly,
well,
yes.
Biden, I guess you'd have to have a Democratic legislature, Congress and Senate also,
right,
to do that. You see what I'm talking about, Ray?
Yeah, I do. And I think the president is just trying to get some economic help to the middle class of Americans. Yeah, the people on the upper end of the spectrum, they're always going to have money, right? They're going to cover, they're going to make their car payment and all the rest. But he's thinking about the huge number of, say, on the lower end of the spectrum in the huge middle class. He's just trying to provide some help. As to the constitutional question, I think, Walker, you've covered it well. He can defer it, but for canceling, that's got to be done by the Congress.
Mm-hmm. I'm just not, in general, I'm just not a big fan of, what do you call them, executive orders?
Yeah.
Now, President Obama used executive orders like nobody's business.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he just whipped them out there. Now, President Trump's done, I don't know if he's on track with President Obama and that, but... Anyway, all right, next story, Fred.
Yeah, a story that we've been watching out in California with what some of the churches have been doing out there. And we have word this morning that the Thomas More Law Society, the special counsel there, Jenna Ellis, has now filed a lawsuit in Superior Court of the state of California on behalf of Pastor John MacArthur and Grace Community Church against the governor, against L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetta, and other California Los Angeles County public health officials. The lawsuit says that what they're doing, trying to force churches not to hold services during this time, is unconstitutional and onerous. And so it's going to be interesting to see where that goes, because we now have several churches in California that are saying we're going to continue to meet inside. We talked to Pastor Rob McCoy yesterday from Ventura County, Calvary Chapel Church there, and they are moving forward with their continued plans to meet inside.
So let me get this correct. The governor of California and the mayor of Los Angeles, and I guess with Pastor Rob yesterday, talking to him from Calvary Chapel there in Ventura County, what these government officials are saying is, we have the right to control your church for as long as we want to.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. That's what they're saying.
Yes.
In the name of public health, we can control the churches of California indefinitely.
Yep.
And what some of the churches, the pastor we talked to yesterday, John MacArthur's church, and others, are saying is, no, you can't. And we're going to court to get a ruling to say to you, no, you can't.
Yep.
Right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So that's what's at stake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's at stake is freedom of religion
the
in
First
America.
First Amendment.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
What do you any idea, Ray, what do you think, how that would go?
I'm thinking about what the Bible says in the Old Testament about unequal weights and measures. That's against the law. That is to say, to be discriminatory in the way that you apply the law, that in itself is wrong. And one part of the lawsuit that Fred talked about is they are saying that the mayor of Los Angeles and the governor and these other officials, they have one standard for the protesters and a completely different standard for churches. And they are saying that that is discriminatory, it is unconstitutional, it's a violation of the First Amendment. In a fair court of law, John MacArthur should win that lawsuit.
Yeah.
Whether they can find one of those courts in California, we'll see.
That would be my secondary argument. I understand what you're saying. That would be my secondary argument. I don't know. Have you read, is that going to be their first appeal?
That's one of the arguments.
Yes,
it is.
They're making.
That would be my second argument. My first argument, if I was a lawyer for the churches out there, would be, this is the government cannot control the churches indefinitely, and this is we have the First Amendment of the Constitution. It's been violated here. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Yeah.
As Abe has said before here, Abraham Hamilton III, we all understand there is a provision in the law that allows in emergency situations, earthquake, tornado, hurricane, fires, civil unrest, whatever, you can take extraordinary measures, even suspend constitutional rights. In a moment being maybe in this case, a few weeks.
But it has to apply equally.
Yes,
and it hasn't.
No, nope. Not once has it applied equally.
And it can't go on forever.
No,
right.
And this is going on forever.
It can't go on indefinitely.
Yeah,
and so we'll see where that court case goes. All right, Fred. Thank you.
You are welcome.
We'll be back in a moment with more of today's issues on AFR with Steve Jordahl.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.